Had my eye on you a long time, Doctor. I consider you one of my most valuable long-term investments. And when it comes to my investments, I always do my homework.
All aboard!
Thank goodness homework has come to an end for us. At least most of us. I think Troy's still after some of that.
Yeah.
Man,
who
I'm glad those days are gone.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Money Talks. I want to let you all know you can give us a call if you'd like to talk to a human being at Hensler Financial. You can call us 770-429-9166. You can also call our question hotline, or you can leave a recorded message. Leave your question. We'll play it back on the air and then answer right behind it. That number is 1-855-429-9166. You can also email us, drgene@hensler.com, drgene@hensler.com. You can also go to our website. See us also on various social media.
Absolutely.
We've got a way that you can contact us if you want us. And you try just a little bit, you can probably get a hold of Hensler Financial.
Yeah, should not be too hard.
Not too tough. Anyway, Jarrett, we got probably good time to talk about, since it is the middle of the year.
Well, that's
talk
right.
About a mid-year financial checkup. And we do have kind of a situation we put together to talk about just that thing.
A bit of a hypothetical here. I mean, you know, just like anything else, tis the season for this mid-year financial checkup, and so something we kind of wanted to reiterate, as we tend to do at some point during the summer months throughout the year on the show, and to just kind of circle back around on some of this is more of a reminder than anything to some of you that that are good about doing this on a regular basis. There's a number of clients we have that love to check in around this time of year to kind of see how things are going and how they've done year to date and what the expectations are for the remainder of the year. And so, you know, to sort of illustrate that, we do have a situation today here with Helen and George, who, like many of you, are either close to or already in retirement and are looking to kind of make sure they're on track. You know, retirement, with it being so near in the future for them, because Helen and George actually are not yet retired, they are looking to ensure that what their expectations are or were when the year began are still on pace and
Jacob,
on track.
I know,
and so there's a number of different things when you're doing a mid-year financial checkup that you might want to consider, and something
Jacob
that, you know, we take a look at often this time of year.
So
and
the
actually,
question
I would
is
say
from Glenn from Kennesaw, says,
this
should
year,
I make a non-deductible IRA contribution? I'm covered by a 401k.
Because of the volatility we've experienced in the market
so
far, there's been a number of opportunities to, you know, let's say, for instance, you know,
technically,
technology has done extremely
out.
Well,
however, the IRS
code,
a lot of our clients
who
refer to as
a good amount of exposure to that,
and
like
if you
Helen
don't
and George
have
do,
any other IRA,
it might be opportune time to trim some of that
IRA
back so that it remains
then you
an appropriate
would be eligible
weighting within your
portfolio.
Make this non
because you might not want to take
IRA contribution
the gains that you would have
a pretty good
if they were in a taxable account
and that you would incur if you sold them. What you can do and what we've been working to do with a lot of clients is trimming back some of these positions
well
that have done
and
well
make that
year
non-deductible
to date,
and then
to
selling
an IRA,
but then
for
immediately
losses,
specifically for losses
to
some of
the
Roth
ones,
IRA.
For instance,
so
in the consumer staples
sector, to,
which is the worst
performing sector,
allow those dollars to then
be date,
in
I believe,
a tax-exempt account.
And by
and
taking the losses
manner,
in that sector,
so the fact that you can
still
get the gains
those dollars into the Roth,
and
I would say
dialing back some of that IT exposure,
doing the non-deductible IRA contribution.
Otherwise, you run into a case where
bring the portfolio back in line,
keep taxes to a minimum,
an IRA,
and make sure
well,
that
now you're
going to
have
are,
some basis
for remaining
in the
IRA
because those are after-tax
and
dollars
performing as
probably
expected.
Have,
because you know, if you were to roll that 401k over,
you're going to run into a big
tax bill,
tax deferred dollars.
You
know,
you
so now
trim back those
there's
positions,
different treatment of the dollars
so
within
you know,
your account,
become,
and that can make it
overweighted
difficult
when you move
employers.
But then
or,
also,
you know
if
you've
got
the
ability,
which
is,
I would say that
you know, one of the
is very sensible if you're going to do that
Roth conversion,
if you don't have any other IRA dollars,
then you're able
to harvest
some of these losses. Which
is
a huge benefit,
thing,
and I would
that
say most
correct.
People don't
now,
even
you cannot recharacterize.
So if you were to do that now, year, but in fact, just know that you cannot recharacterize
those
dollars and go back like you used to be able to.
Yeah. You should always check
Roth
through
conversion
that at any
is still
given
allowable.
Point during the year.
Exactly.
And
still
of
really
course,
option,
none of this has much impact on an IRA or
Roth.
Okay, if you've got losses in there, it's just best to keep those kind of adjusted and weighted according to your strategy, your long-term strategy, always.
Exactly.
But if you've got those taxable accounts and you do have some losses, and guess how much of the 500 stocks in the S&P 500? Do you want to take a wild guess as to how many of them are negative year to date, even with the market up 3.33%?
Oh, let's do a Price is Right thing.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Here we go.
You want to go first?
Yeah. Who's going to go
the
with
first
the
first shot? Let's see. I'm going to say 215.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's aggressive. I don't want to be lame and do like the $1 thing. 173 feels like a good number.
173. Wow. How about 238?
Wow.
We're talking almost 47.
That's incredible.
A little over 47.6% of the S&P 500 is negative.
Wow.
So far in 2018, however, the overall amount is positive.
Yeah. Well, I would say typically we don't see it this much of a difference between, you know, what's done well and what hasn't. There's a number of other items that we want to do on the mid-year checkup.
Harvest and tax losses, and I know Jacob's not a huge fan of selling consumer staples right now, but there is a strategy where you could sell the individual names.
Right.
And what do you do?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, if we're optimistic on what the sector may hold given its recent performance or otherwise, then when we do sell some of these individual companies to harvest losses to help us offset gains that we've taken for clients otherwise, what we'll do sometimes is purchase a sector ETF, which is going to kind of mimic the performance of that sector while you await the passage of the IRS's wash sale rule. So, of course, you need to wait 31 days to buy the stock back after you've sold it for a loss if you want to recognize that loss on your tax return. And so, you know, as we were talking about before the break, if you were to sell some of the top gainers in your portfolio right now in an effort to kind of dial them back and get them to an appropriate weighting and try to avoid or at least minimize the tax bill, what you could also do is some of these companies, which as we heard before, you know, Troy brought up the fact that roughly half of the S&P 500 is in negative territory this year. So it's a really unique, I would say, opportune time to take some losses to help you offset the gains on these companies you're dialing back and trying to bring back to that appropriate weighting, and then waiting the 30 days to then buy back in at hopefully an attractive price on some of those losers so that you're still poised and positioned for you know, participation in a rally. And if that were to happen while you were sitting out on the sidelines, so to speak, and awaiting that passage of the wash sale rule, that is why we would, in a lot of cases, recommend that these sector ETFs be owned, because in the case of consumer staples, for instance, where it has suffered probably more than it justifiably should year to date, if we hung on to that, because let's just say a lot of the companies that were sold for losses happened to be in that sector, well, that would allow you to have your exposure while you're awaiting the passage of the wash sale rule and still participate in a rally if it bounced back. But, I mean, I happen to agree with Jacob. I certainly don't think now would be the time to sell for sell some of these consumer staples companies, because you know, they actually look pretty attractive.
They do.
After what's happened. So
and just in what you laid out, it actually does create kind of the answer to a conundrum. You sell a stock that's got a loss, you buy a sector ETF, and you have a gain.
Yep.
You're going to be taxed at your marginal rate.
Right.
On the gain.
Yeah, the gain.
Because it's going to be short term if you sold before 12 months is up, right?
That's true. Yeah, and so, you know, that is something to consider and keep in mind when you're doing it. I think, you know, for the most part, we're of the opinion that, look, if that does happen, well, some gain's better than no gain, and while you might give up a little more in tax.
That's the name of this game, right? Aren't we supposed to make money?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it does kind of stink that, you know, that is a conundrum that's brought about by doing that. But, again, I think, and the reason I've been trying to take as much advantage of this as I can is because we don't always see opportune times like this to be able to pull off a strategy like this. Because, for instance, last year, I mean, everything was up.
Yeah, 21.8% at the end of the year. The S&P 500 doubled its normal average annual return.
Yeah, so then you got all these, the same problem, right? You got a bunch of companies that have done well,
sure,
that you're overweighted in now because the price has driven up, and you need to bring them back down to the target weighting that you have.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if this were last year, you wouldn't have any losses to offset some of those gains, and so then you'd be still needing to do what we're talking about here, but not having the opportunity to minimize your tax bill. So when you do have these times come along, it's really an important consideration to make and see if it's something appropriate for you. That being said, there are a number of other things in a mid-year review that you might want to consider, and we won't touch on all of them today, but I will say that for those of you out there that do have a required minimum distribution and have not yet taken it, it is something to probably start thinking about now in the second half of the year, and maybe not only the best way to go about taking that, whether you're going to take some yourself to live off of, maybe you're going to journal some to a taxable account so that you don't have to sell securities, or maybe you're going to give to a charity so that you can avoid the tax liability on some of that distribution as well. That obviously needs to be taken before the end of the year. Otherwise, it's a 50% penalty on any amount that's not taken. So this is really when we kind of amp up our review of our reports that show us who has and has not taken these requirements and start to have discussions with them about what the best way is going to be to go about making sure this gets taken.
Yeah, there's a penalty if you don't take that money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 50%, like I say, on any of the untaken portion. So it'd be if you didn't take any of it, it'd be 50% on the whole thing. But if you
who wants to give away money like that?
that is probably a fireable offense around here. Any clients don't get taken the requirement. So it is certainly something that's important and needs to start being considered now, so that at least you're not kind of forced or rushed into a situation at the year's end that will maybe not allow you to make an optimal decision with some of that money. So just start thinking about those things, deadlines that'll be coming up, and anything else that might, you know, help you stay on track with your retirement and or investment strategy is definitely something to keep on your radar.
Even if you're taking money out of it now, it doesn't really impact the tax situation. Doesn't impact your required minimum distribution as long as you take it within the year, because you're taking it from a tax deferred account, right?
Right.
But not taking it obviously could impact you severely.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, I mean, look, if you've got a larger requirement, I mean, these things can affect other areas of your life. I'm sure those of you that do have these, you've probably run into situations where, you know, a certain level of income is going to affect your Social Security benefit. It could affect your Medicare benefits. So, you know, if that is going to be something that you need to consider, it's probably not going to be something you want to do the week after Christmas and figure out, okay, what's the best way to go about making sure this gets taken so that I can avoid the penalty, but also make sure I'm doing it optimally. And so even if it is just that you don't want to take the full amount because you don't need it and can afford to maybe give some to your favorite charity, that's even something to start thinking about. There's maybe a number of organizations you would be interested in, and that can help you keep your ordinary income low so that either you're not pushed into another bracket or, you know, it doesn't impact these other areas of your life.
Not every day that you hear folks talking about that one.
That's right.
All right, let's take a real quick break. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back. Stay woke.
I was walking down the street when out the corner of my eye I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I've never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little...
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.